You would please turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 9. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one from the least unto the greatest is given to covetousness, from the prophet even unto the priest. Every one dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I want to finish this series up today, God willing, on the ills of America. God warned ancient Israel and Judah that He would bring judgment upon them for their idolatry, their rejection of the Word of God, the law of God, the truth of God. And all you have to do is read history, and you will find that God's promises to judge them came to fruition. The Assyrians invaded Israel, I think it was 722 B.C., and then the Babylon Empire, the Babylonians, invaded Judah. I believe that was 926 or something like that. And they were really dispossessed of their land. And for years, for centuries, the nation of Israel was broken up for the most part until 1948. And I believe God has a purpose in bringing them back to their land. They are not restored yet. That won't be until they repent of their sin and trust in Jesus Christ. But that day is coming. The point I'm making is we have a blueprint here. When a nation casts God off, rejects His word, and goes contrary to His law. All nations that forget God shall be cast into hell. America has never been a perfect nation because the majority of people that have always lived in our country have been lost, undone, without God, without Christ. But in our history, there was at least, because of founding principles and founding doctrines and documents, we at least had a Judeo-Christian ethic. And I believe that's why God blessed us. We were founded for all intent and purpose on the tenets of the moral law and the Ten Commandments. But we have probably three, maybe four generations of Americans who have had the philosophy of moral relativism crammed down their throats by way of the media, our public education system, secular humanism is the prevailing religion in the United States. And the government of our United States is forcing people to abide by the religion of secular humanism. It's a fact. Moral relativism teaches situation ethics, as well as the idea that each man develops his own standard of truth. I've heard politicians say, I think the senator from Connecticut said, when that lady was trying to bring down Kavanaugh, he said, "I believe your truth. That's your truth. You don't have your own set of truth. Let God be true, and every man a liar." You don't have. We have a system of truth revealed in the Word of God. But in the essence of the philosophy of moral relativism is a system of no absolute right or wrong. And that's where we're at. Although it's morphed from do your own thing to now you can only do your own thing as long as it matches up with our thing. With regards to speech, our First Amendment right is the freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. And we're losing that because of this teaching, this religion of secular humanism. See, it's built on the pursuit of advancing one's own self-interest, even at the expense of others if need be. Unfortunately, those who run our political system are deceitful. They're liars. They're wicked. They want to further their own interest. That's why when they get out of politics, they're multimillionaires because they've been successful at it. Charles Colson said regarding those who are the advocates of moral relativism, "While such new barbarians who know no higher law than self-interest, who see nothing to champion beyond their individualism, are celebrating their own nihilism, they are, in effect, torching the very props of virtue on which our societal experiment and our very existence depend. Whenever man becomes a law unto himself and develops his own standard of right and wrong, I guarantee you immorality will reign. Because man is fallen. He's sinful. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. And a government system cannot correct that core depravity. What is systematic? Systemic. That's the new word, the new buzzword. Everything systemic. I'll tell you what is systemic. It's human depravity. It's the sinfulness of men. The heart is deceitful and desperate above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And wicked hearts produce immoral lifestyles. We've come to the place where everything is tolerated and promoted except for what's right, as revealed in God's Word. So we have a myriad of moral ills, of loose living, of unrighteousness, sexual immorality of every form, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, pornography, prostitution, gambling, drunkenness, drug abuse, murder, gang violence, plague our nation. Something's wrong. And sad to say, there aren't enough preachers who will stand up and say, that's sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. Too many preachers want to go along to get along, make sure they got nickels and noses, money and people coming in, and they're preaching a Christianity of self-interest rather than the cross. And it's sad. I'm not going to do that. I am going to preach that men are wicked because of sin, that they are under the judgment of God, and that the only hope is the power of Christ revealed in the gospel, changing hearts and minds through His death, burial, and resurrection. And I will not accept the new moral deviancy and perversion. Even though every word is now being changed, there's a hashtag that promotes homosexuality and homosexual marriage. It says, love is love. I'm going to tell you something. If you believe the Bible, and I do, here's how God defines marriage. It says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all. And you can search the Bible through and through, marriage from Genesis all the way through the book is between a man and a woman. Jesus believed that. Marriage is honorable. That's where all sexual activity should take place in the marriage covenant. But notice what it says. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. The parameters for sexual activity are confined to the marriage covenant between a man and a woman. Everything outside of that is sin. Say, well, you're saying everything's sin. In today's world, pretty much. Jesus said, if you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery, spiritual adultery. So love is not love. Much of what people are calling love today is nothing more than lust, the desires of the flesh. So I don't accept this driving deviancy and moral perversion. What's happened is they keep moving the standard farther and farther and farther down. And the next movement is coming, and it's already, you can feel, you can read it if you study it. They're going to give pedophiles the right to molest consenting children. That lifestyle is wrong. It's sinful. It's abominable. And it's not the only thing wrong with America. But morally, when a nation does that, God brings judgment. He told them in Leviticus, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto, it is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Leviticus chapter 18, verses 22 through 25. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah by raining down fire and brimstone for that behavior. God judges that. In America, if you say anything against, and again, I do this for effect. I do it on purpose because most people just say the letters and they don't know what it means. The lesbian, gay, transgender, LG, or bisexual, transgender, LGBTQ, queer agenda. I disagree with it. I believe it's wrong. So it's harmless, is it? This past week, I'm shocked they didn't censor this. Answers in Genesis had an article about the homosexual choir of San Francisco singing an entire song with this catchphrase, "We'll convert your children. We're going to convert your children to the homosexual lifestyle." We spent a whole month last month, the nation spent a month celebrating pride. You see, the Constitution, I think it was John Adams that said, it was written for a moral people that abide by the moral law. Abortion is another moral evil that is being tolerated, promoted by many Americans. Since 1973, millions of babies have been killed in their mother's womb. Abortion mills have produced more casualties than all the wars put together which Americans have fought. And again, it goes back in most cases. Sex outside of marriage. Destruction of the marriage covenant. And a way to eliminate what they perceive to be a problem. Say, well, what should people do with all these kids? They ought to raise them. That's what they ought to do. They ought to take care of their own children and teach them and train them and love them and encourage them and help them and take them to church and read the Bible to them. What should they do with all the children? Parents need to take care of their kids. Murder is not the answer. Moral ills are abounding, especially in large cities. Every weekend, there are people killed in Chicago, in the inner cities, and they say it's gun violence. Now, it's people violence. We could put a rocket launcher out on the front porch of our church, and if nobody ever used it, they would never commit any deed of violence against anyone. It's just a weapon. It's the people who employ the use of it. In our nation, whenever somebody gets killed by a policeman, the fault is all on the policeman. Never the gun. But when some nut job who's wicked and ungodly goes in and kills several people, well, that's the gun. No, it's the person that commits the deed of violence. These are moral ills. Why do we have that? People have no moral foundations. Our forefathers taught their kids the moral law against idolatry. They taught their kids to honor their mother and their father and not to kill and not to steal. In places in California, you won't get charged with any crime as long as you steal under $1,000. So what do? They organize stealing parties. They steal a bunch of stuff and then they sell it online. Moral ills. God told Israel, Deuteronomy 28, 14 and 15, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. It happened in Israel. It's happening in our country. You can't make people moral because they're immoral by nature. That's the nature of sin. It gravitates toward lust. Now, if you have a principle of truth, you can at least restrain some evil. But when that principle of truth is eroded, taken away, then you have ungodliness prevalent. There are many spiritual ills in America as a result of sin. And I'm talking about people who profess to be Christians. People are serving themselves rather than the true God. Churches are weak and spiritually powerless. There's little godly living in the average church. The true worship of God has been replaced with entertainment, lights, fog, song fest, dramatic productions, very little gospel preaching. Easy believism, free willism, religious ritualism. These are all the norm in most American churches. And the Bible tells us that's how it would be in the last days. We've been living in the last days for the last 2,000 years. It seems like it's getting, evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. But we live in a day and age when most churches don't tolerate, most people do not tolerate Bible preaching, gospel preaching, preaching against sin, naming it as it is, and warning of God's judgment. Very little strong doctrinal preaching coming from the average pulpit in our land today. In fact, a lot of preachers just get up and say whatever comes to mind. They don't give an explanation of the Word of God. They tell stories. The Bible says, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You know, if my preaching from the Word of God never makes you feel uncomfortable, I'm not doing my job. Cry aloud and spare not. Show my people their sins. What God told Isaiah. We live in a day when church members know more about the television schedule than they do the Word of God. Lost people look at the lives of professing Christians and see little or no difference from their own. And so they remain indifferent. Christians today rarely tell people about the power of Christ's gospel to save. see religious America is a quagmire of contradictions and hypocrisy. We've contributed to the ills of America. And I see little hope for the religious condition of America unless preachers get back to preaching the whole counsel of God and the true gospel and lay off the psychology and self-esteem and social justice. Get back to preaching what men need to hear. If you want to contribute to us the spiritual revival and awakening, you personally need to repent where you've been wayward, cold, indifferent, stubborn, rebellious against the Word of God. You need to study the Bible, obey its commands, practice its precepts. Live it out. Surrender your life to God. If we're going to hope for any kind of revival, we got to stop playing church. Preachers need to return to the strong preaching that emphasizes the sovereignty of God in salvation, the depravity of man, and the power of Christ to change the lives of men and women forever. Most preaching today is man-centered rather than God-centered. Preachers are glorifying and exalting man's fallen and fickle free will as a Savior, rather than proclaiming Christ and the gospel. Churches are resorting to all sorts of gimmicks, gadgets, and frills, entertainment, in an attempt to attract people's interest, rather than simply preaching the truth and allowing God to do the work of changing hearts and minds. Now, I realize what I'm preaching this morning rubs people the wrong way. It may even rub you the wrong way today. I love you. I count it an honor to be a member of Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church. And the cherry on top is that God allows me to pastor this flock. But I'm not going to sugarcoat things just so you'll like me. I don't believe that's the way any preacher should operate. We need God to work in our midst. Convict us of our sins so that we're not adding to the problem, but rather we're standing for something that's right and true and doing it graciously and lovingly. Listen, it's not hate to tell somebody you need to repent and believe the gospel. That's not hate. But I fear there's been so many words that have been redefined by the media, by people in power, We need to get back to this book. And I'll tell you this, you need to stop living for yourself and living for the Lord. And be willing to sacrifice for truth and for righteousness. In a lot of ways, I feel that modern day Christianity, a lot of people are just going through the motions, and if they're the least bit inconvenienced or doesn't fit in their schedule, God, His Word, His church just gets cast aside. And I pray that God will pour out His Spirit upon our church and upon our land. We sorely need a widespread revival of holiness and worship. I know that 2 Chronicles 7:14 was written for Israel. But let's make application. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and will turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Over the past few weeks, I've cataloged some of the major ills in society, and you may think that things are bleak, but I believe there's hope. I've seen people converted. I've seen their lives change forever. I've seen my kids, I've seen grandkids saved and their hearts changed. There's hope. But it is all in a return to God and His Word. I hope you know the Lord Jesus. You know what? Our country may go the way. We're the only democratic republic, constitutional republic, that has stood for 200 plus years in the history of the world. That may be gone. But that doesn't mean Christianity's gone. That doesn't mean the Lord's gone. Our forefathers were imprisoned. They were tortured. They were beaten. They were burned at the stake. And they never gave up. I don't know if those days are coming back, but they could. I'm serving God. I'm not serving a political system. I will not bow to the dictates of tyranny. I'm going to stand for what's right, as revealed in the Word of God. And I hope you know the Savior. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? I hope you respond by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. Amen.
page number 70.